Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. What a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Psalms and chapter 51. The book of Psalm and chapter 51. A very familiar psalm to most people, and what a blessing it is to be able to read it and to preach a message from it. Psalms chapter 51. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to do so. As I read, you follow right along with me. We'll begin in verse 1 and read down to verse 14. The Bible says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you this morning, we love you, Lord God, and thank you for your presence here in this place. Thank you for this place of refuge, for what we've already experienced in being in church today. But now, Father, as we look into this Psalm chapter 51, I know that you have a message for each and every one of us. I pray, God, that you'd help each one to have that ear to hear what you have to say to them. Pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Most associate Psalm 51 with David's great sin, his sin with adultery with Bathsheba and then murder of Uriah. David was a man of character. You say, how do you know that? Well, you study the life of David, but more than anything, you find that God says he was a man after God's own heart. For God to have that written down about David means that David was a man of character. It also means that David would have been a lover of righteousness. You can't have a heart of God without being a lover of what's right. As David writes Psalm 51, David was not in a good place. How could he live with himself knowing what he had done with being a man of character? With being a lover of righteousness. We find here in David's writings, as no doubt the Spirit of God was inspiring David to write, and not only was God working through David to present what David was going through, but God had it so where he would record it for us to be a benefit from this as well. But David, in verse 8, reveals that he had lost his joy. Make me to hear joy and gladness. He didn't have it anymore. Verse 10, we find that he had a wrong spirit For he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. For David to want a right spirit, that means that David had a wrong spirit, a wrong disposition of life. David would have had a very negative, he would have been living as a man of anger. All this because of a wrong spirit, he would have been negative, he would have been angry, he would have been living a life that was empty. A wrong spirit. Verse 11, the Bible says, and create, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. There was no sense of fellowship with God. There was no sense of God's spirit bearing witness with David's spirit, having fellowship with God. That was not there any longer. In verse 13, we find something that David says, then will I teach transgressors. When I receive this, when I get back what I've lost, I will start teaching transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Because we find here that he was not able to exalt Jehovah God. He was not able to rejoice over God because of the spirit that he had within him and all the things that he was fighting and going through. He was not able to even witness. How could he witness to others when he did not have a joy in his own heart? Matter of fact, in verse 14, it says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness, meaning he had lost a song in his heart, not able to rejoice. David's not in a good place. David needed something from the Lord. Can I tell you, that's actually what I want to preach on this morning, is we all need something from the Lord. Something that only God could give him. You could call it the joy of his salvation, or you could call it a revival. For David wants to be revived. Whatever it is, he says, I don't want to live this way. I want to go back to what I used to have. Whatever you want to call it. But David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. He knew that only God could do a work inside of him. David knew he needed something done inside of him with his own spirit, but he knew that he couldn't do it on his own. He knew that it was God that he had to turn to. And he says to him, renew. Renew. I want it back. I don't want to live the rest of my life this way. I want it back. Renew a right spirit within me. God had taken it from him. Or if you will, David really didn't appreciate it, and somewhat he gave it back by his yielding to the sin of Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. Can I tell you that as we look right here in David's life, David still had what most think would give them all they could want. At this point, David still had what most think, if I had what David had, how could I want anything else? David was still the king of Israel. David was living in the mansion. He had everything available to him as a king would. There was none higher than David in the land of Israel outside of God. He had that. He still had that. Some people think, well, if I only had money, if I only had wealth, if I only had position, if I only had a house, if I only had this, then I would be content. How could I want anything else? Can I tell you, that will not bring contentment. The things of this world and the positions of this world will not bring to us that what the soul truly desires. If you've ever experienced what God has to offer, you will not ever want to live without it. Joy. David was missing something that he once had. As far as we look here, he said David lost his joy. David lost a right spirit. He lost fellowship and a desire to glorify the Lord. Money can't buy those things. This is something only God can give. But David had it. David had it as a shepherd boy. He wasn't king. He didn't have anything that his heart desired as far as this world's concerned. No, it was when he was a shepherd boy. David went out to do what he was supposed to do and protect the sheep, and there was a lion that come up against him. And David was able, with God's help and what God had given to him, the Bible says that David was able to be able to grab this lion by the jaws and rip this lion in two. That's not natural. I don't know about you, unless I have a gun of some kind, a .30-06, a high-powered rifle, I don't want to go up against a mountain lion. But David, because of what was taking place and because David had what God had for David, and David was able to go up against this mountain lion, he was able to rip this mountain lion too. Can you imagine that night when David was getting ready to go asleep as we do every night, and we somewhat kind of ponder over the day and what the day took place, what took place in that day. And David was thinking, whoa, did I really do that? Can you imagine the joy and the excitement of knowing that he didn't do it in his strength? This was only able to be done, and he did it by what God had given to him. Only by the strength of the Lord and because of what he was able to do in his relationship with God. Can I tell you that David was rejoicing and shouting when he was going to bed that night? I don't know how long it had been, maybe the next day, but then the very same thing happened again, but not with a mountain lion, it was a bear. And David was able to, once again, with what God had given to him, accomplish what he was there to accomplish in protecting his sheep, and David was able to slay the bear. Again, can you imagine back before David was going to sleep that night? Now, Lord, praise the Lord that you allowed me to be able to defend the sheep by killing this lion. But now you've allowed me to defend the sheep, and you've given me the experience that I have now that I'll always have in my memory banks. I'll always be able to refer back to this about how it felt that day that God blessed me enough to be able to go up against a bear and with my bare hands be able to slay a bear. He was rejoicing. David had everything that he had lost. He had a right spirit, his attitude. Can I tell you, it was that of joy. He would want to tell anybody what God had done for him. Anybody that was ready to listen. He might have even been, had the sheep. Sheep, let me tell you something here. Amen. He set him up a pulpit there and he preached to the sheep about how God had done for him and the blessing it was to serve the Lord. If there's nobody else around, he's going to shout. He's going to present it to the sheep. It didn't stop there because that was all in preparation for David to go up against the mightiest soldier known to Israel at this time that the rest of the soldiers, even his older brothers, ran from. And David, as a teenager, because of what God had given to him, was able to go up against this Goliath. And David not only went up against him, David slew this Goliath and cut off his head to prove to the Philistines, this is what happens to anybody that defiles our God. The head probably was about as big as David was. He's holding by his hair and his head was, you know, I mean, hanging all the way down to his ankles. No doubt David barely could lift it up. And yet he was a testimony as to all of the Philistines. This is what our God can do even through a little teenager like me. Can I tell you, that night I would have loved to have been in his tent and just heard his praise. I would have loved to have been able to see that grin on his face. over what God enabled him to do. That wasn't all. He had all those things to think back on. He had all those things to be that he had. This is what he had. And now this shepherd boy, fast forward a little while, is being anointed as the next king of Israel. Never in his mind as a shepherd boy. You have to be somewhat related to a king to become a king. And he was related to an almighty God. And God chose this little shepherd boy to be the next king of Israel. Now he is sitting on the throne. He is rejoicing over God giving him victory after victory after victory. He has all of this past to think back on. He has everything that you think a man could ever want. And somehow or other, he yields to the lust of the flesh. Man of character showed no character. This lover of righteousness showed no righteous sense of righteousness. And he's lost it. He lost it. Can't even hardly remember back what it felt like to defeat a lion, to kill a bear, to overcome Goliath, and to be anointed as king. Whatever it was, he doesn't have it now. Psalms 51. David realizing he doesn't have it, and he pens Psalms 51. And God records it and preserves it for us. David looks back to God for something that only God could give him, that he had lost. Verse 1 and 2, we find David's cry for mercy. Verse 3 through 6, we find his confession of his sins. Verse 7 through 12, a plea for cleansing. And if you will, verse 13 all the way to the end of the chapter, actually the end of the book, or the chapter of 51, a commitment to what he will do if God would only would restore him and give him back what he had lost. That's Psalms 51. Can I tell you this morning, all of us will go through tough times. All of us, if you're here in Sunday school, are going to face on a daily basis temptations to do evil. All of us. David's tough times was brought on by his sin. That's not always the case. If you will, there's three reasons for troubled times. There's three things you look to if you're going through a dark place. If you have a need for something that you might have once had, you don't have it anymore, and you're looking to God. There's three reasons for troubled times. First, the consequences of sin. Sin will do that. No doubt about it. It did it for David. There's also the need for spiritual trial. If you'd look and study 1 Peter chapter 1, you'll find the need that, if need be, that God's going to take you through a trial. And sometimes we go through some very tough, challenging times because God says you need this to be able to prepare you for this. It might be this morning, it's not sin. You can look in your life and you can evaluate and say, no, what my darkness and what I'm missing out on right now is not because of sin. As far as I know, I've asked God, I've looked into my life, and there's no sin that I'm aware of in my heart and mind. If you're praying to God and asking God to reveal it, if you have sin in your life, God will reveal it to you. You have to be willing and be open to hearing it.
And then as soon as you understand it, then you need to confess it and forsake it to be able to get through that consequences of sin. If you're looking to God and asking God what's going on, He will actually reveal it to you as well, that if you're going through a trial, stay faithful. It's not going to be the rest of your life, but it's something that God's taking you through right now. And if He's taking you through it, He has a purpose and a plan for it. Or it could be the third thing. The paths of life could just be you're going through a natural path of life in a sin-cursed world that takes us through an appointment with death. I tell you, death is an ugly thing. It's a result of the curse. A lot of times we go through things, cancer, and I can name so many other things that brings about tough, dark hours. Having to take medication that it messes with your mind and your feelings and your thoughts, but yet you have to weigh out the balance, all right, with the medication, I have to have this consequence, and without the medication, I have to deal with this. And sometimes, and we go through life because we have an appointment with death. It means the body is dying. We're facing some darkness. Sometimes it's just a natural process that we go through. We're going to go through that. If we live long enough, amen, you're going to experience every ache and pain the body's ever been felt before. Amen. I mean, you're going to do that because that's just the paths of life with an appointment with death. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, Hebrews 9:27. Can I tell you, whatever it is, God has what you need to handle it. We have David here knowing it was not just the process of life. It was not the idea of a trial. It was because of his sin. And David makes it very clearly, I have sinned against thee. That's the most important one that we sin against. Now, you might have to make it right with others, but the most important person that you have to look to and to confess your sin to is an almighty God. Especially if he has blessed you with all the things that David was blessed with. How can you turn your back on God when you're a man of character, when you're a lover of righteousness, when you have everything that you could ever ask for? How in the world could you do it? And the idea and the reason behind that is that we're all sinners. Now, Satan got a huge victory in his life. Whether it's sin, whether it's a trial, or whether it's just a process, a path of life, God is still the solution. Yeah. David cries for mercy. God is a merciful God. David cries a plea for cleansing, and David asks God to restore within him. Give me what I need so that I can continue to serve you. You know, when we're going through things, times like this, can I tell you that sometimes you just have to hang on? Amen. Don't put more on yourself than what God will put on you. Sometimes it's just a matter of be still. Listen to God. Give an ear to God. Be aware of what God's doing. Learn. Sometimes we just got to be able to make it through that darkness. But I can't live in darkness. Now, it could be that you're at that age and you're going through, heaven holds a healing for us all. Amen. And if God has you here, there might be a purpose for that darkness, and it might not be you. It might be for others around you that are impacted by your darkness. But understand that God will only have you here if he has a purpose for your being here. And the purpose for his being here is for you to exalt Christ, whatever that is and however that has to work. And your healing is coming. Just keep focused on God.
One day you're going to open up and all that pain and suffering will be behind you, and your eyes are going to view the very person that saved you, the very person of God, the Son.
And then you're going to say, it's worth it all. Whatever I had to go through on earth, it's worth it all to receive what I've got right now.
But it could also be, if you're not there, if God still has purpose for your life, then there's you have to limit your time of mourning. You have to limit your just hanging on. And you have to turn it around like David did. David didn't just want to exist. He wanted to get back to where he was before. David would realize when he had what he used to have is when he was doing something with it. When he had what God had for him, he was taking advantage of it. He defeated a lion. He defeated a bear. He was defeated Goliath. He was crowned king. He led Israel to one of the most powerful nations on earth at that time. What he had from God, he was doing something with it. So he says in verse 13, restore, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold with me with thy free spirit. I want back what I've lost. He said, because when I get it back, I'm going to go back on the offense. When I get it back, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. All the ungodly, they're going to see that there is a true God. There is a God in Israel. I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. You see, it might take getting on the offense to bring back the joy, the right spirit, the fellowship, and the praise of God. We're in March Madness. For anybody that knows anything about basketball, you understand that March Madness is college basketball. And every state has certain teams that they're going to really pull for. And sometimes if you've been planted out of state, I won't mention names, but those from Ohio, they are all messed up in who they're rooting for. I mean, but it's a basketball. It's March Madness. And sometimes you will watch a defensive stand, and it'll get from the crowd a little cheer because it's a defensive stand. You're on the defense. You're trying to hold them off. You don't want them to score anymore. And you're trying to hold them off. And it's defense. It's needed. And you get a little bit of joy, a little bit of excitement from the crowd. But when you turn around and you get on offense, you know what a slam dunk brings? When somebody takes that ball and they're no longer on defense, they've got the ball in their hand and they're going to do something with the ball, and they're traveling down, and that same person drives the full length of the court and comes up on the net and slams it down. Can I tell you, you bring the house down with that kind of offense. Everybody's joy, everybody's shouting and yelling and screaming and jumping up and down, at least if it was for their team. The other team is trying to sink and hide underneath the pew or the chair. The offense. Doing something with the rock. I'm not talking about the basketball. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Doing something with him. What he's equipped you to do. Now, start looking to score. You're in a dark place and you've held on and you're looking to God. Stop. Right, now there's a time for that, and give yourself enough time to get through that. But at some point you have to say, no, I'm not going to live the rest of my life on defense. I'm going to get on the offense, and I want to accomplish greater things. And that's what David was crying out for. Renew that, what I had. God, if you renew it, then this is what I'll do. I'll get back on offense. Yeah. See, getting back on offense and accomplishing what God has you to accomplish, you have to realize the Spirit of God that He's placed inside of you and learn to yield more to Him. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, to be filled with the Spirit. And David says, renew a right spirit within me, and cast not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I want to have it so I can yield to it. That's the beginning. That's the start. I don't know what God might have for you. I don't know what you're able to accomplish. I don't know how many lives you can impact for Christ. But I know the Spirit of God does. Once you get back to knowing He's within you and He has a purpose for your life, yield to Him. You just need to spend more time yielding to the Spirit of God so that I can accomplish what God has for me to accomplish. It might be that you need to pray more. I've been praying defensive prayers. I've been asking God just strength to get me through it. I've been asking for this. No, you need to start changing that prayer. And God, you've got me through it now. Restore and help me to get on the offense. God, give me strength to do something more. Give me strength to reach more souls. Give me strength to do this. Give me strength to do that. Help me to be the light that you want me to be. Maybe you just need to pray more. Maybe you need to give more. More blessed to give than to receive. I'm not just talking about finance. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about saying, I want to make a difference for the cause of Christ. I want to give more of me. I want to be more of a witness. I want to help more people that are in need to come to know the Savior who can meet all their needs. I want to be used by an almighty God. God, give me the rock and help me to do something with it. Yeah. I need a slam dunk. Maybe you need to go to church more. These are things we can do. And these are things that are on the offense. I come to church, yeah, to take in, but I take in so that I can give out. If you're not taking in, you'll stop giving out. What better place to take in than the assembling of ourselves together? Where Jesus promised He'll be here with us. Who He will work through the song services, and He'll work through the congregation together, and He'll work through the preaching of the word. Matter of fact, David knew that. In closing here, look back with me just a few chapters to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27, verse 4. This is David. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Because this is going to bring so many other things. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Everything that David said that he had lost, that he wanted to have returned, It came in association with him going unto the house of the Lord, taking in all that God had for him. So call it what you will. The joy of thy salvation, a revival, whatever you call it, turn back to God for it. Because what you need is something from the Lord. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed for just a minute here. Think about it. God's inspired David to write Psalm 51. God's preserved it for us to learn from. Don't you want it? Don't you want it back? If you've never had it, then don't you want to receive it? It begins with salvation. It really does. It begins with salvation. You can't have what God has for you unless you trust in him and call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But if you want God, you can have salvation. You can have his Holy Spirit. You can have his joy. You can have everything that David cried out for. Oh, how we need it. Whatever it is, ask God for it. Father, we bow before you this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for the truths of your word, for this Psalms 51, and how we can glean from this and be blessed by it. And I pray as I've preached it, as I believe you wanted me to preach it and bringing out these thoughts this morning, I pray that you would help all of us to take hold of it and have that desire, God, to have all that you have for us so we might accomplish some great and mighty things. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.